Amen. Our prayers are for the Goodwin family. Sister Janelle passed away yesterday morning from the Amity Church. Great woman of God there. And pray for her family that something good would come out of it. Amen. I always say, you know, the Bible talks about beautiful in the eyes of the Lord or the death of the saints. So I always say, a saint of God who's gone on to be with the Lord would not trade places with any of us. And so sometimes we get mixed up, amen, in our thinking. But this is why we live our life the way we do. I mean, this is why we live a holy life. This is why we pray. This is why we separate from the world. We repent of our sins. We get baptized in Jesus' name. We get the Holy Ghost. It's one of these days, amen, whether it's by the grave or by the rapture, we're going to go. And I want to be ready. Praise God. I don't want anybody sad. If I have a funeral, I don't want you sad at my funeral. Because if I have one, it's going to be a happy one. Praise God. I'm planning on just flying out of here one day. Amen. But we'll see what happens. So, amen. Praise God. You got your Bible, Matthew, the 26th chapter. In the 6th verse, I'm going to read through the 13th verse. I'm going to let you sit down, and then I'm going to read a whole bunch more, and then we're going to break down the word. Amen. You like a good Bible study? Amen. Praise God. You like this screen? Amen. God blessed us with this screen. This is about a $30,000 screen that Brother Philip, Brother Matthew bought the parts for us for about $5,000 and put it together and didn't charge us. And so we got a $30,000. We high tech. Amen. Praise God. So now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? Amen. A lot of people, when you start praising God and they're not praising God, they think you're wasting time. Amen. When you're praying and they're not praying, they think you're wasting. Amen. But anything we do for God is not a waste. God keeps good records. Amen. He said, for this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. And verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel, let's say, wherever this gospel, wherever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. Amen. While one group thought it was a waste of time what she was doing, Jesus said, you know what? It don't matter where the gospel's preached. They're going to preach about what this woman just did. Hallelujah. Amen. And I want to preach for a little while from this title, Becoming Famous in the Kingdom of God. Amen. Becoming Famous in the Kingdom of God. Amen. Set your Bibles down and lift your hands to the Lord. Amen. Lift your voices to the Lord. Let's ask God to help us. Come on, in the name of Jesus, we love you, God. We thank you for all your blessings. Thank you for all your goodness, God. Thank you, Lord, for never giving up on us. Thank you for giving us one more opportunity to walk through the doors of the temple of the living God, the sanctuary, lift up your name where understanding comes from. God, we come into your sanctuary to understand what's going on in our lives. Teach us this night, God. Help us, God. Strengthen us tonight, God. Abahata. Come on, let's praise him in this house. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Amen. I want to preach about becoming famous in the kingdom of God. Before you get all upset, let me just tell you what famous means. It just means you're known by a lot of people. That's all it means. So don't think I'm preaching about trying to be a celebrity. Amen. Don't get all upset, and we're not trying to become nothing. But the word famous means you're known by a lot of people. Amen. And when Jesus saw what this woman done, when everybody else was upset about it and thought it was a waste of time, amen, in the eyes of Jesus, he said, I'm about to make you famous. Hallelujah. I like the kind of praise that you do. Amen. I like your kind of sacrifice. I want to read this story. As you know, a lot of stories are told in the same stories are told in different gospels, and I want to read them for a particular reason. And amen, if nothing else, I'm going to be better at reading when I'm done, and you're going to be say that you've listened to half the Bible. Amen. Your Bible reading's a lot further down the road. Mark the 14th chapter. In the third verse, the same story, but this is through the eyes of Mark. Let me tell you how you look at the Gospels. This is what somebody said one time. Maybe I read it and it was so good. He said it's like the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's like four different photographers watching the same events, but they're at different angles and they're taking pictures. And so you'll see different things by reading the different Gospels. And so some of them will have some things and the other ones won't. And so I want to read Mark the 14th chapter, the third verse. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. When you begin to study this, it was a kind of stone box that came from a special place in Egypt, and they would put the perfume in there because it would stay inside the stone, where if it was in wood or some other type of material, it would begin to bleed through. So when she broke the box, it was all gone. Amen. It was either all or nothing, okay? Amen. I know I got the right message. Amen. I prayed all day. Amen. She broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? And she hath wrought a good work on me, for ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. So Mark tells the story again through the words of Jesus. And at the very end, he says that wherever this Bible, this gospel is going to be preached, they're going to hear about this woman who had a alabaster box and poured it out upon Jesus Christ. Amen. Luke, the 7th chapter in the 36th verse. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with her tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, and he saith, Master, say on. And so Jesus begins to talk to him. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou givest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Praise God. I'm thankful for the day I came in contact with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. What a beautiful day. God is moved with compassion when people come to him. You ain't going to stay the same when you come to Jesus if you got a willing attitude and I want to change. I want to be better. Amen. Praise God. But who this woman is in this story is very debatable. And the reason I read all three is so that we could figure out who this woman was. Some people think it was Mary Magdalene, but some theologians would say it was not Mary Magdalene, because every time she was mentioned in Scripture, it would say her full name. There was no reason to not say her name. And so some think that it was Mary of Bethany. This would be the Mary who was the sister of Martha. You know the story of Mary and Martha, who had the brother named Lazarus. Amen. The reason some people think it was this Mary is because of what John said in chapter 11, verse 1, when he said, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So John is saying this event is exactly like the one we just talked about. But John goes on to say that Jesus loved these three siblings, and it was Mary that would be described as the one that would sit at the feet of Jesus. And it was told of her that Mary, this Mary, Mary of Bethany, was the one that had chosen the good part. Amen. But the woman in the story of the Gospels with this alabaster box, described in Luke 2, does not really appear to be Mary of Bethany, because this woman is described as a sinner. And Jesus insinuates that she wasn't just a sinner, she had to be forgiven of a whole lot of sin. And he ends this meeting with this mysterious woman by saying, thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace. And so this woman in Luke, who is a sinner, does not fit the description that I read in the Bible of Mary of Bethany as we know her. Matthew's story just says it was a woman. Mark's story says it was just a woman. Luke's story said it was just a woman of the city. Amen. And I'm not here trying to confuse people. I'm not here trying to get you to go figure out who this lady is. I'm not trying to get you to go do a Bible study on which Mary is here, which one's not. Was it her name even Mary? I'm not trying to confuse anybody. But what I'm here to do is teach you a principle tonight about the kingdom of God. Amen. I'm going to teach you a principle about the kingdom of God. Now, I've read a whole lot of stuff and talked for a little while, amen, to make a few points. And this is this. The identity of who did it is obviously not the most important part of the story. Who did it is not the most important part of the story. But what they did is the most important part of the story. It's not whether it was Mary or somebody else. The most important part of the story is that there was a woman that was willing to give Jesus everything that she had in order to walk out a different person. Hallelujah. Amen. Her name is not the most important part of the story. The fact is that she gave him the most valuable thing that she had in her life is the important part of the story. And let me tell you about Jesus Christ. He's looking at your sacrifice. When nobody else knows what you're giving, God knows what you're giving. Praise God. Amen. When Jesus stood at the treasury and he watched the woman give two mites, that all she had was two mites, he paid attention to what she gave. He said, this woman's given more than anybody has. She gave everything she had. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all gonna help me tonight? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Most important part is what you do, not who you are. And when Jesus sees this woman take the most valuable thing that she had in her life and broke it and began to anoint him for his burial, amen, washed his feet with her tears and dried it with her hair, he is moved by the fact that this woman is doing everything she can do to get the Savior's attention. When everybody else is looking around at what can you do for me, this woman walked in and said, I'm not going to ask one thing out of you. I come in to do something for you. Let me tell you something. When your attitude changes, amen. Hallelujah. And you make up your mind, I'm going to do something for him. You're going to get God's attention. Jesus is watching this. And because he explains, because you've done what you've done, your actions, your giving. Can I just say it in my words? I'm about to make you famous. He said, what you're doing in this room tonight, it don't matter where they preach the gospel. They're going to preach about what you did on this very night. Amen. This is how he would say it in Matthew. Wherever the gospel's preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. Praise God. He was so moved by what she did that he said every preacher that preaches the gospel is going to preach about a woman with an alabaster box. If it's right now or 2,000 years from now in Hot Springs, Arkansas, I'm going to lay it on a preacher's heart and he's going to preach when you give everything you got to
You're going to get God's attention up. Hallelujah. Everybody in this room, have you ever heard the story of the alabaster box preached? Praise God. It's almost like the Bible's right. It's almost like he meant what he said. Amen. You've heard the songs about an alabaster box. You heard the messages about an alabaster box. You can't listen to preachers very long till they start preaching about it. I want to tell you, Jesus made this woman famous in the kingdom of God. I hope y'all. Raise your hand again if you know this story before I ever started preaching tonight. Praise God. Raise your hand again. It's a big building. I don't have time to turn my hand. Looks like everybody's heard the story about it. He said, wherever it's preached, I got preachers that are going to preach about this. You're going to be famous in the kingdom of God. But at the same time, nobody even knows who this woman's name is. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. A famous woman that nobody knows even who she is. God's been dealing with me all day long. You know what I figured out in prayer today in the kingdom of God? Being famous ain't about who you are. It's about what you do. Come on. Being famous, being known in the kingdom of God ain't about your last name, but it's about what you've done for God. Come on, I need somebody to help me right now. We're fixing to change some philosophies in the kingdom of God. Amen. There's people thinking if I could just get so-and-so to sing this song that I wrote, and he figures out what my name is, I'm going to be important. No, you ain't going to be important. The most important person is the one that nobody even knows who they are. Amen. Everybody in this room knows about that little woman that walked in and gave everything she had. Let me tell you, we're not pushing our own agendas. When you start trying to prop your own self up, you're getting totally out of the will of God. He's going to start ignoring you. But when you say, hey, I don't care if nobody knows, I'm here to praise God. Come on, somebody praise him right now. I'm going to tell you, if you're trying to push your own agenda, you'll figure out you're pushing by yourself. I've seen preachers. Are you supposed to say that? I've seen preachers that their whole life philosophy was to get a big name. I thought I know a whole lot of big names that they shut the doors and locked them up. Big names when I was a young boy, they don't even have churches anymore. I'd rather be a no name and do the work of God, and God bless and multiply. Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. We're not here to push our own agenda. We're here to push his agenda. And when you start pushing his agenda, you're going to figure out God's going to show up. And God's going to help you. Amen. When you start praying, when you start getting committed, you start sacrificing, when you start praising like you ought to, when you start giving like you ought to, and your motives are right. Hey. Amen. I want, well, hallelujah. Amen. Praise. I want God to bless people.
I want him to give you what he called good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. I want you to pay this church off. But I don't want you to pay it off so you can get on Instagram and say, I paid off the church down there in hospital. Come on. I don't want you to get a desire to make your own self famous. I want you to get a desire to be used of God and let him do what he wants to do in your life. Come on, church, help me right now. I'm tell you, when you get like that woman that didn't care who was in the room, when you get like that woman, you don't care about the price of the sacrifice. Too many people are counting up the cost. I wonder what it's going to cost me to live for God. You need to quit worrying about it. You ought to say, God, I'll give it all if that's what it takes. Come on, there's too many rich young rulers, amen, that can't give it all. Hallelujah. Amen. Tell you something. When you get committed to God, you're going to become famous whether you like it or not. You start travailing in the Holy Ghost. You let God put gifts of the Spirit upon you. You're going to become famous whether you like it or not. Whether you wanted it or not. God said, this woman right here, everybody's going to know who she is. Hallelujah. My Bible said, whatever you do in secret, it's going to be shouted from the rooftop. Everybody thinks this is just a negative connotation. I don't necessarily look at scripture through negative lenses. Some of them are negative. I understand that. And you got to go with what it is. But I believe whatever you do in secret will be shouted from the rooftop. And if you got a prayer life, come on, church. Come on, if you got discipline in your life and you're doing what God wants you to do, maybe nobody ever sees you. Maybe nobody ever hears you pray. But God knows when you're praying. But God knows what you're doing. God knows when you're praising him. He knows when you're studying. Let me tell you what God will do. The people that sacrifice, the people that are committed are the ones that God will elevate. Well, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Hey, man, if all you're doing is looking for trying to get on an Instagram reel so you'll become important, you miss the whole purpose of living for God. It ain't got nothing to do with you and other people. It's about what can I do for him. Come on. Everybody in the house, lift your hands to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Don't you know God knows who's full of pride and who's humble? Amen. Don't you know that woman was so full of humility? Can you not see who God elevates and who gets God's attention? Amen. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Let me tell you, if you got something in your heart that ain't right, the smartest thing to do would be to get on an altar and say, God, cut it out, pull it out, beat it out. Whatever you got to do, don't let me fall. Hallelujah. And I've watched people
who were used so powerfully of God. I'm going to tell you, this is what we need in this last days. People used of God. Don't, please forgive me. Don't look at the pulpit and say, well, he needs to do it all. He needs to teach every Bible studying. He needs to lay hands on everybody. You know what we need? We need a church full of people that are used of God mightily, that are meek and humble and love the Lord. You ought to be praying them through in your house. You ought to be healing them at Walmart. Hey man, there ought to be miracles everywhere we go. This Bible was signs and wonders. Come on, praise the Lord with me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I've studied church history and late history, early history. Unfortunately, a lot of times when people are used of God mightily, something begins to go to their head. And when it goes to their head, they forget where God brought them from. And you got to realize it's not your hands that heal people. It's not your words that counsel people. It's not your IQ that shows people the way to go. But there is a God in heaven that comes upon a man and comes upon a woman. And when it happens, mighty things were recorded. Amen. Think about people who were given the gift of healing. I don't think every one of them was a fake. I think some of them were fake. Amen. But I do believe that some of them really had a gift of healing. But when they began to heal people, amen, and people began to flock just like they did in the New Testament. When Jesus would heal people, a crowd would gather. Amen. And I've studied this. Amen. And to where when people... something gets lifted up in their spirit. Amen. They begin to come up with weird doctrines that are not biblical. Goofy things that are not biblical. Amen. And because they exert this authority of I'm using the gifts or whatever, I can heal, I can do this. That they exert this authority over people and people begin to believe. I'm going to tell you, I don't care if you can heal somebody. I don't care if you can lay hands on somebody and they get up from a broken down bed. If you preach anything other than this book, this gospel, let it be accursed. Hey, man, don't fall. I'm going to tell you, when you begin to read this Bible and you read that the devil-possessed people in Egypt could throw down their rod and it would become a serpent also. You get to that book of Revelation and the Antichrist is given powers to do all kinds of... You better not be fooled. You better know your word of God. You better know, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You better know... Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean. You better know, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, and you shall receive the gift. The Holy Ghost. You better get the word down in your spirit. So here I am begging God, God, let there be miracles in your church. God, let there be healings in your church. But at the same time, God, don't ever let us get mixed up. I'm going to tell you, the ones that God wants to promote are the humble ones. The ones that are just looking for Him. Could I say it like this? The no-namers. It was an angel appeared to a woman, said, "You're going to have a son. He's going to be a deliverer of Israel. He's going to be a Nazarite." And they began to give him all the vows of a Nazarite. And this angel said, because you're going to have this child basically in your womb, you're going to have to be a Nazarite. And this woman, Manoah's wife, has a son named Samson. Samson does all kind of miraculous things. And a man picks up the gates of the city and hauls them off, rips up lines. He does all kind of crazy things. Catches 300 foxes, ties them together, and sets them on fire. That's a madman right there. You know what his mama's name was? I don't either. Because the Bible don't even give her a name. It just said, everybody knows who she is. Everybody knows what she did. I hope y'all gonna let me preach a little while. I'm watching the clock. I'm preaching the burden of my heart. She was a no-namer. Well, I'm offended they didn't put my name on that flyer. They didn't put my name on the schedule. They didn't put my name on the... I taught a Bible study and they didn't even put it on the screen. I come and prayed and put my name and it wasn't even on the screen. I tell you, it ain't about our name. It's about what are you doing. Let me tell you what name does. Name promotes you. No name promotes Him. I'd rather promote Him than to promote me. Amen. It was a woman named Agnes Holmes that if you probably never had a career, never had a job, never had a college degree, never was on the city council or school board, if you weren't Pentecostal, you probably had no idea who this woman even was. But she didn't care. She spent all day long praying. Hallelujah. Wonder how our homes would change if there was at least one person there praying all day. I don't know. I'm just, you know. If you went downtown Hot Springs, asked them, "Do you know who Agnes Holmes is?" I ain't got a clue. She would be a no-namer. Praise God. I've never in my life seen somebody pray so many people through to God. It was like, I don't know, it was almost like subtle. You know, we try to, and I'm guilty, but we try to shake the devil out of people sometimes. But, come here, Matthew. Well, I won't be on the front row for very long. I got to use you while I can. If she knew you needed the Holy Ghost, she didn't like shake your head and mess your hair up like I do. It's like some people do. But she was like real smart. Like. But see, she had already been praying all day long every day. And she'd just kind of grab you by the forearm. Ooh, Jesus.
Ooh, Jesus. And she'd just start moving you a little bit. Something about moving a little bit kind of breaks the ice, I guess. She is, ooh, hallelujah. Even after she couldn't walk around, she'd sit in that recliner. And it wasn't very long, she'd go speaking in tongues. And wasn't very long, you'd go to speaking in tongues. But it's like, you may wonder, how does she do that? You know, well, thank the Lord. Well, she was kind of like that woman with the alabaster box. She just gave it all. She gave her whole life to God. Every moment of her day belonged to God. She was at Walmart. She was inviting people to church. Amen. And if she'd go to Walmart again, and you, if you didn't go, she'd give them another card. And they'd say, well, you gave me one. And she'd say, and you didn't come. I'm just going. Is this okay? Sorry. I don't ever want the spirit to get in this church that we're trying to make a name for ourselves. Because when we do that, that's when it's going to start going in reverse. Hallelujah. There was a few people showed up at a house in Bonnie Bray Drive in Los Angeles. You know, a lot of people, when they went to California, they were trying to make a name for themselves, trying to discover gold, trying to make it in the industries, the movie industry, the music industry, whatever. But these people, they were going to try to find God. And they got in this little room, this house on Bonnie Bray Drive, and they started praying. You know who they were? They were nobodies. Especially in our society then, it was the least of the least. I hope this is okay. It's all right. It's gonna work anyway. They weren't there trying to say, if we could just all bind together and get us some flyers. Think about, we could be the very beginning of the greatest church in Los Angeles. We could really become famous people. That, when you read the history, it wasn't none of that. It was just like people would open their Bible and they seen that God used to pour out the Holy Ghost. And they were like, if he did it back then, surely he would do it again. And this lady got the Holy Ghost. And then another person. The preacher didn't even have the Holy Ghost. And more people got the Holy Ghost. And then they couldn't stay on Bonnie Bray Drive no more. Then they went down to Azusa Street and rented a little place. We're not trying. You don't ever understand the impact of way down the road right now. Amen. But right then. Right then, they started praying. Amen. It was so, and people laugh at me and they say, you're so unorganized. That's how this thing started. It was unorganized. There wasn't a time for church to start. It was just prayer meeting. Amen. Praise God. And the preacher was a nice black man. Praise God. He was a little bit taller than Willie. And he had one less eye. Close one eye for him. Yeah. Praise God. He can't do it. Come on, bro. We're going to get there. We're no names.
His name was William Seymour, but nobody knew who he was. He was just a guy that wasn't allowed in the white church in Houston. So he got on the train and went to L.A. Amen. And he's the pastor, and he ain't got the Holy Ghost, but he believes in the Holy Ghost. He's not trying to be anybody. He's just, he's hungry. You got that eye closed? Yeah. He's like this, and there's no time for church to start. It's just prayer. It's just people breaking out in the Holy Ghost. And William Seymour sticks his head in a box. Let me tell you, when you're the pastor and you stick your head in a box, you can't say you're doing it for attention. He put his head in a box while everybody's praying. What are you trying to do? Well, I'm trying to find, this is the only way I know to touch God, I guess. And he sticks his head in a box and he just prays. And when he pulls his head out of the box, everybody in the church knows God's done spoke to pastor. We about to get a word from God, and everything gets quiet for a minute. The man with one eye starts preaching the gospel. And the power falls, and people throw their crutches away, throw their wheelchairs away. And it's the greatest outpouring of the Holy Ghost that North America has ever seen. What are you doing, God? I'm looking for somebody who's looking for me. Azusa Street became the greatest North American revival. And from that place, the gospel went all over the world. There were people coming from every nation, from Asia, from Europe, South America, Africa, to Azusa Street to see Willie. No, amen. They wanted to. It wasn't my boy, if I could just be in Brother Willie's church. Man. I can tell all my friends, I mean, they probably didn't even know his name. God, who are you going to use? Boy, it's getting quiet. Who are you going to use, God? I'm going to use somebody who's willing to sell out. Who are you going to fill with the Holy Ghost, God? I'm going to fill the one that's willing to break the whole box. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love it when you ain't got to beat people up to get them to do right. This is my philosophy. I ain't going to beat nobody up. If you know what's right and you ain't going to do it, what good is it going to do for me to tell you? I'm looking for another. Hallelujah. Thank you. Sister Lila came and she just, whatever, you just, if I'm doing something wrong, you just say it. When somebody's like that, I usually ain't got to say nothing. Because the Holy Ghost will say it. I preached it for years and some people still don't get it. But when you start praying, she come to me. She said, I keep having this dream when I'm praying. I'm praying And while I'm praying, I reach up and I grab my wedding band and just fly. What does that mean? I thought you'd never ask. Praise God. Let me tell you, God's going to have a people. This is Brother Lance, that guy, he ain't even, Daddy, we're going to change his name. Well, you got another name? That ain't the same guy. Amen. Hey, God, are you somebody who's willing to sell it out? Hallelujah. You feel Jesus in this place. Amen. When I got the Holy Ghost, my pastor changed my name. I was always called Joe. And all my family called me JoJo. And I got the Holy Ghost, and he said, "Is your real name Joel?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "I like that name." It's his name too, but anyway, that's what I've been for 20-something years. Praise God. This don't work any other way. I got a burden on my spirit. If we're going to do the work of God, we got to get the real deal. I tell you, last thing you want to do is try to do the work of God without being committed to God, without knowing God. There were some brothers one day that heard Paul preaching. They thought, "This is pretty cool. I like the way he preaches. He casts devils out. He takes authority. He takes dominion." So they run up to this other cat, full of the devil. They don't know God. They're not living the life. They just enjoy what they hear at church. They like the preaching. They like the excitement. They like the music. They're not living it. They don't even really know what it is. So they walk up to this guy full of the devil. Say, "Hey, devil, come out. I command you to come out by the Jesus that Paul talks about." And the devil starts talking back to him. Said, "I know who Jesus is. I know who Paul is. Who are you?" In other words, you're not famous in the spiritual realm. Your prayers ain't ever stopped me one time. Ooh, ta 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 ka ta ya. He said, "Who are you?" Then he commenced to whoop the boys. I'm talking about becoming famous. Don't get mixed up about what famous is. I'm talking about becoming famous in the kingdom of God. Where when you start praying, the devil starts running. When you start opening your mouth saying, "In the name of Jesus Christ." Amen. The enemy knows when you got a walk with God and when you don't have a walk with God. Hallelujah. Praise God. We took a trip to, took a trip to Crockett, Texas here a while back. And we stopped at an assisted living center, the real nice lady that is a member of this church, even though she's in assisted living center. She pays her tithes here, watches service. Her name is Lakita. And anyway, we just popped in to surprise her. That was their great idea, and we prayed and talked. She got to talking. I was like, "Well, how did you get connected with us?" And she said, "Well, Sister Priscilla had liked a post of the church, and I guess you can see what other people like. That's kind of dangerous. That ought to make you do right." So I started looking at the church, and she said, "I just love the church. It's awesome and everything." She said, "But when I turned it on,
She said, there was this lady that had gray hair, and she was up on this side, and she was reading the Bible. And she said, it was so anointed that it captivated me. She don't even know your name, Sister Fernal. But you're famous. She said the anointing. It just captivated me. I couldn't quit watching it. She said, I've been watching it ever since. I love every bit. Feel the Holy Ghost in this place. God, I want to impact people. God, I want to touch people. God, I want to reach. Did you know people are watching how you act? They're looking at your Facebook post. When it's a bunch of garbage, when it's trash and divisive and goofy stuff, you're famous, but not like God wants you to be famous. Famous clowns. Bozo the clown was famous. I don't want to be famous like him. Amen. Stand together with me. I'm going to quit. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. The most probably preached and understood and known story, maybe in the whole Bible. Happened by an unknown woman. Praise God. Wanting to touch God. Hallelujah. I rebuke that spirit that says, I lift me up. I want to be this. I want to be that. Since y'all are standing, I'm going to sit for a second. We're going to reverse this. Praise God. I'm going to tell you something. If it's about you, my friend, it will never happen. I'm not saying everybody doesn't have feelings, because everybody wants to feel important. Everybody needs affirmation. I understand human biology and characteristics. I understand all that. Let me tell you, God gives you affirmation in many ways. You don't have to be full of pride to feel affirmed, to feel like you belong. My prayer is, God, I've been praying, God, I want you to use this church. I want you to turn this city upside down. I want all 100,000 people in this county to get the Holy Ghost. And the more I pray it, the more God gives me messages like this. It can happen. It ain't that it ain't God's will. It ain't that God ain't sending revival no more. It's that scripture. I sought for a man. I looked for a man. He looked for a woman. Amen. That was willing to sell it all. I honor people that grew up a different way than this. I grew up in this, and I didn't really have to do a whole lot. I knew this was. I honor people that were taught different ways, and you've seen truth. I know it's hard. Amen. And I appreciate it. But I want to tell you why God called you. He called you because he felt like you would be willing to take that alabaster box and break it. He said, cast all your cares upon me. I'll tell you what it's still going to take. It's going to take people that are willing to give the most precious thing in their life. That rich young ruler, he's like, dude, this. And he's like, cha-ching. I've done all that. He's thinking, I'm in. Oh, one more thing. Sell all that you have and give it to the poor. The kingdom of heaven will be your. You got me there, God. And he walks away lost. God didn't want his money. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. God's wanting to know, are you willing? Ooh, I want to be used of God. I don't want this to be this current sanctuary forever. I want us in the convention center. I want it full, thousands and people praying and crying. There's some things I got to do for that to happen. There's some things that you got to do for that to happen. Are we willing? I'm through preaching. I'm just rattling. Are we willing? Do we want to be used of God? Are we at ease in Zion and the rent's paid? Amen. And the car is paid, and we still got bologna in the fridge. Are we happy, or are we content, or do we want God? I got a burden for this church, for the people. I pray all the time, God, this group of people, what's the purpose of this group? I mean, there's so many various people, kind thing, talents and abilities. What's the purpose? I tell you, God does things for one purpose. He wants a church in the earth. When God puts things together, the Bible said he sets the members. So he sees things in people. When you get here, amen, ain't nobody perfect. We sure like to be. But this woman wasn't perfect when she got there. The Bible said she was a sinner. But there was something about that sinner woman that got God's attention. What was it about the sinner woman? She had a lot of sin. It was her willingness. You've been saving up a long time for that. I don't even know what they used it for. Besides burials, I don't know if it was for different events, and you've been saving a long time for that. Yeah, I know, but something changed. Don't you love it when God changes your direction, Sister Borner? When you grow up one way and God just, it's like, okay, here we go. This is it. Hallelujah. You know what I'm praying? I'm praying her family would get the same spirit that got on Sister Tammy. She walked in. She got the real Holy Ghost. She didn't walk in a saint, I'm sure. She walked in a sinner. She was willing to. God bless. Come on, let's pray together right now. In the name that is above every name. God, I pray. I pray, God, that you would have a people that you could use. God, I want to be used. Corabaso, whatever it is. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, I feel faith in this place. Hallelujah. To, to, to. Ooh, Baba. Come on, I feel it in the Holy Ghost. God wants to do some great things in people. Come on, it's God's will to use people spectacular ways. Felt it today. God's wanting to use people financially to do amazing things in His kingdom. But above all else, we got to be saved. God, God, I'm willing. God, Namata. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on, everybody in this house. I want you to pray. I want you to cry to God.
More of you is what I need.
Come on.
I need your glory.
Come on. I'm a no name. It's perfect.
I want your glory.
You're perfect.
Less of me and
you're exactly what God's looking for.
Is what I need. Show me your glory. Show me your power.